All right, welcome in. This is the FPC Chiefs podcast. I'm Braden Holacek here, the managing editor of Full Press Coverage Chiefs of FullPressCoverage.com for this Friday edition of the show, as we will be previewing this Sunday's matchup between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Cleveland Browns. And I'm happy to be joined today by FPC Browns managing editor Nick Swanson. Nick, welcome to the show. How are you doing tonight?
Thank you. Thank you. I'm very glad to be on here. You know, it's been a good day so far. Like you said earlier, week's kind of been dragging on. I'm looking towards this weekend, you know?
Yeah, and I was kind of surprised researching for this game a little bit. I mean, I know it's two franchises that have gone through some fair share of losing in their time, but I was a little surprised this is the first ever playoff meeting between the Browns and the Chiefs. I would have thought maybe they would have met maybe in the early 90s or mid 90s, but that's not the case. So this kind of adds to something else for, I think, just the fan bases of these teams. Kind of like we said on the other podcast with Kyle Senra and Jesse Hall yesterday, I think it's just fun to see these two teams finally kind of get to bask in the glory a little bit. So I guess first off, what's kind of your overall thoughts heading into this Sunday's game?
Do you want my honest thoughts or my hopeful thoughts?
Any thoughts you have is fine.
Well, if I'm being honest with myself, I really don't think this game will go well at all. I think that the Chiefs will completely outplay the Browns. They are a better coached team. They have a better quarterback. They have probably the best player in the league on their team. It'll depend on the offensive consistency. My hopeful thought is that the game will be close and that there's actually a chance that the Browns could come out winning this game, but I'm really not sure.
Yeah, and I guess I think what's interesting to me, I guess, before we kind of jump into the Browns offense is just I don't want to discredit the Browns, but they have been through some up and down stretches at times this season. You look at the points they put up against the Titans and Ravens, and then, of course, some tough losses against the Jets, and then finishing with the minus 11-point differential on the season, even with an 11-5 record. So it's just really going to be interesting to me to see how they come out after that big win against Pittsburgh last week. But I guess what really stands out to me for the Browns offense, even though I think, obviously, you got to stop Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. I think it's Baker Mayfield. I think he's kind of the guy that makes this matchup so dangerous for the Chiefs. Just having watching a lot of Big 12 football from where I live and everything, and every game that I saw from him at Oklahoma, I just think this is the kind of environment where he thrives in. Do you think I'm wrong on that assessment, or do you think he's going to kind of come back to earth a little bit in this game, so to speak?
No, I agree with you. I think he is a big time player. He's a big game player. Still early on in his career, so if this one doesn't go well, then hey, you had last week, and then you also have in the future. But I also grew up watching a lot of Big 12 football, so I know that my personal favorite college football game of all time was the last time these two quarterbacks matched up. So very much looking forward to this game.
And I guess, you know, we kind of talked a little bit earlier this week. I was very thankful for you to answer questions for me for the Behind Enemy Lines article and our look at the Browns from the FPC Chiefs side. And you kind of just talked about Baker, you know, just the fact that when he wakes up dangerous, I mean, that's something that it's been joked about a little bit, but it's something that really, when you really get to watching Baker, I think it makes a lot of sense. And just the fact that I think a lot of people think maybe Cleveland's offense is simple, but when you look at him in those big moments and he thrives under pressure, that's what's really stood out. But how has the hire of Kevin Stefanski really helped Baker this season?
I think that the Browns have finally given Baker a coach that he can believe in and a coach that truly believes in him, which I think was the biggest problem with Hugh Jackson, Freddie Kitchens, Greg Williams, whenever he was the interim, all of the OCs. I think they've gone through five OCs in the last 3 years. I think that getting a coach that is on the same page as your quarterback is what will lead to success. And I think that they have bought into each other, and that assuming nothing goes wrong, they should be together for quite a few years.
Yeah, and I think when you just look at his offensive style that Stefanski brings, multiple tight end sets, a lot of play action and waggle stuff, is really a good fit for Baker. But I think you just kind of look at this offense as a whole. Let's go to the running back position now. Obviously, when you have two running backs, it could be starters on any other team, and Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, and the balance that they have there. How big of an asset is that? I mean, I know it's a passing league in the NFL now, but this is a team, when you look at Chubb and Hunt, probably the most powerful runners in the game, sans Derrick Henry. So what do you think it means to this team when they're able to trust in those guys and just be able to have guys that are that reliable at the running back position?
It really opens up the offense more, not only from a rushing standpoint, but as a defense, you always have to keep your eye on one of those two guys. So if one of them breaks out into the flat, linebacker comes up, it could leave someone open wide over the middle. So I think that the biggest thing is that the respect that those two running backs, Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb, command from defenses really allows the rest of the offense to open up, get downfield, give Baker Mayfield more time in the pocket. It just allows the offense to continuously grow.
And I guess something I'm kind of interested in, I don't really know if they'll have any inkling in doing this. They'll probably try to keep it balanced. But do you think we'll see maybe an additional amount of snaps for Hunt, knowing that he's going up against the team that drafted him this weekend?
I would like to think so, especially because this is going to be a score quick and score often type of game. So I think that having Kareem Hunt, just his ability as a receiving back, will help a lot. Because as you know, the Browns have been without their number one weapon, Odell Beckham Jr., for a majority of the season. So it'll be able to take a little bit of pressure off of Jarvis Landry, Rashard Higgins, Donovan Peoples-Jones, those guys, by having Kareem Hunt more in the passing game as well as what he can do on the ground.
And Kansas City's a team kind of in the past couple of years, but even still this season, they've struggled with some missed tackles. I know they were still around the top 10 heading into December. So those are two guys, obviously, with Hunt and Chubb, that they have to be better with tackling this weekend, and getting Anthony Hitchens back should be a big help for Kansas City. They missed him the last couple of games, and he's really had his best season with the Chiefs, so that'll be fun to watch. But let's kind of move a little bit more to wide receiver, and just Jarvis Landry, let's talk about him for a little bit with Odell Beckham being out, like you mentioned. What has he really kind of proven, maybe, that was already maybe known but just not as nationally, now that he's kind of had to step up with Odell out?
I think that he has proven yet again that he is a number one receiver type player. He's not one of the superstars. Like, he's not a Julio Jones, a DeAndre Hopkins, a Michael Thomas. He's not one of those guys. But he is a number one wide receiver. He's shown it. He showed it in Miami. He's shown it in the 3 years that he's been in Cleveland. I think he's really allowed Baker Mayfield to grow. He's been the security blanket. Like, you know the expression, a tight end is a quarterback's best friend. Jarvis Landry has been Baker Mayfield's best friend throughout the last couple of years in Cleveland, because he's Mr. Reliable. He's been the guy that you can always fall back on. He's been the guy that makes the big plays. He's just what really completes this offense.
And I think just like you said there, I mean, just being reliable. I mean, he's a guy that can do pretty much everything. I think people forget, obviously, about his speed, his yards after the catch ability. And we saw that against the Steelers last week with that long touchdown early. So To me, I did write about him against Bashaud Breland in a key matchup piece for Thursday. So if you guys haven't checked that out, go check that out. But yeah, those are two guys to me that are playing maybe the best they have for their respective teams at this current moment in entering Sunday's game. So really excited to see how Bashaud does against Jarvis. I know Landry will move around the formation a little bit, but I guess one last thing to hit on with this Cleveland offense is the offensive line. They've probably been the best offensive blocking unit maybe in the National Football League all season long, along a lot of other teams. But first off, I guess what stood out the most is just they've had to work through so many COVID issues and injuries. I don't believe Joel Bitonio has been activated yet. Am I missing something there?
I haven't seen that he's been activated, but I believe last time I checked, he would be available for the game due to the protocols, but unless something changed and he ended up testing positive, then I don't think we'll see him this weekend.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I know it's been something that I've been a little unsure of during the week, but yeah, I think when you look at this offensive line, I mean, what really makes it dangerous to me from a Chiefs perspective is some of the stuff we saw against Pittsburgh with the pulling guard action and just how physical they are without really having – I mean, I guess when I say physical, I'm not just talking strong. I mean, they're so technically sound that I think it's just they make it look so easy. Do you think this is kind of a matchup where Cleveland knows they feel really strong about, but knowing that, you know, they can't count out the Chiefs pass rush at the same time?
Yeah, the Chiefs pass rush is really underrated to me because they've got a lot of good players, but it's just there's been this stereotype around the Chiefs for the last couple of years that they don't play defense. So I feel like that has really allowed the national audience to kind of disrespect the Chiefs defense. I think that the Chiefs defense and the Browns defense are very similar. They have good young pieces. They've got great edge rushers. You've got guys in the middle that are elite and very solid NFL players. You've got good rotational pieces. Your linebacker core is really underrated on both sides. The secondary is young and up and coming. I see a lot of similarities between these two teams.
And something that's kind of been a staple for Steve Spagnuolo is his use of defensive back blitzes. We've seen Legarius Sneed be able to get to guys like Drew Brees and Matt Ryan in his last couple of games. So I'll never rule out any of those. But one thing that's been good to see from the Chiefs side of things is they've been getting home pretty consistently with natural four-man rushes. So that's a matchup right there, Cleveland's offensive line versus the Chiefs pass rush, that I think is going to be, for me, the most exciting to watch on Sunday. But let's move over to the Browns defense. You kind of mentioned they were similar to the Chiefs. And I think what just stands out to me is this linebacker position, honestly. They were kind of, from people I've talked to and read a little bit, a position that was probably their biggest weakness, but they've really kind of stood out. B.J. Goodson has been really reliable for them this year. Sione Takitaki in his second season, I believe. Every time I see him, he's making a play on defense. So kind of what's allowed maybe these linebackers to improve for the Browns this season?
Yeah, I was one of the big critics of this linebacking group at the beginning of the year. And in the preseason, I really didn't think that they would perform anywhere near what they have been. So I'm very glad that they were able to prove me wrong. But again, it's a lot of youth. Sione Takitaki is, like you said, I believe he's in his second year. Jacob Phillips, the rookie, Mac Wilson, still early on in his career, all have shown to be good players. B.J. Goodson was a great acquisition. You have the former Super Bowl MVP, Malcolm Smith, in there for that veteran leadership. I feel like the addition of Smith really allowed these other guys to grow and really mold into probably the future of this defense, because based off of how they've been playing, I haven't really seen a need to go out and upgrade right away.
And Kansas City's an offense. They do try to center their attention on the middle of the field at times. So you look at guys like Travis Kelce going up against some of these linebackers possibly. These are guys that have definitely improved in pass coverage. So I think that's going to be something interesting to watch. I guess if there's one thing maybe that's not as noticeable with the Browns, what have they kind of done on defense in a good way that maybe a lot of people are not seeing right now?
I would have to go with just the secondary, the way the secondary has been performing without key players, without Denzel Ward, without Greedy Williams, without Grant Delpit, those guys, they've been surprisingly decent. They missed Kevin Johnson for a little bit, but Sheldrick Redwine, Ronnie Harrison, Carl Joseph, Andrew Sendejo, Terrence Mitchell, MJ Stewart especially the last couple weeks has really stepped up his game. But it's just every week this secondary unit seems to be improving and learning from their mistakes the previous week, which you love to see as a Browns fan, probably not so much as a Chiefs fan, but just the ability that they all have to adapt to different coverages, to learn from their mistakes, like I said, it's just incredible to see how quick these guys are at just picking up new things.
And I guess just kind of adding to that a little bit, I mean, I'm sure we'll still see the Chiefs throw the ball quite a bit in this game. That's what Andy Reid's loved to do, even if he hasn't had the greatest of quarterbacks. But do you think some of that play lately from the Browns secondary maybe will lead to the Chiefs trying to run the ball or balance it out a little more?
I think that especially with Denzel Ward and Kevin Johnson coming back, those are two of their top three corners. I think that the Chiefs will definitely try and target them at first just to see if they're still up to speed and see how they've recovered from COVID. I know Denzel Ward was actually showing symptoms and was visibly sick with it. So there's no real knowledge of how he's going to fare in his first game back, especially only recently being activated. But because of this defensive line, players like Myles Garrett, Adrian Claiborne, Larry Ogunjobi, Sheldon Richardson, the rookie Jordan Elliott, those guys up the middle and on the edges, I think it'll be hard for the Chiefs to run against this team. I think we'll see a lot of running back screens, little quick dump offs to the running back type plays in order to try and separate the secondary from the line and try and space out the defense.
Yeah, and that's actually a good segue because to me, I think, when you look at this Cleveland defensive line, it just the depth they have sticks out. And then you know, you hear that saying all the time, you can never have enough pass rushers. But I think people, when they say that, they focus on the blitz or the pressure coming from the edge. This team can bring it from all areas of the defensive line in the interior with Sheldon Richardson or Larry Ogunjobi. And, of course, Myles Garrett, probably one of the best pass rushers in the league. I mean, perennially at least, you know, 10 to 12 sacks or more every season. So this is a Chiefs offensive line. I mean, I've never seen them struggle this much with Mahomes under center with Andy Reid. So I'm really, really interested to see how they come off of this bye week with this preparation. But with the Browns pass rush, do you think, knowing maybe the struggles of the Chiefs, do you think they're going to try to bring some more exotic looks with their blitz calls, or do you think maybe it's just going to be going with the basic natural pressure?
I would think that they would go for some more exotic and kind of crazy play calling just because you are going against an Andy Reid offense. You're going against Patrick Mahomes, one of the greatest improvisers that I've ever seen. You can't come out being predictable. You can't come out with things that they watched you put out against the Steelers or they saw you use earlier in the season. So I feel like the Chiefs have had a lot of time to do their research on this Browns defensive line. So I think that the Browns will end up being forced to mix it up because they'll just end up getting beaten by this Chiefs offense that is the best in the league.
And I guess just one other area that I really want to focus on with this defensive line is Porter Gustin. He's kind of come out of nowhere. Just what was his history and kind of with Cleveland? Was he a UDFA? Was he a guy that, you know, they've always had a good feeling about? And just, you know, what kind of led to him really starting to get this role with the Browns?
So with Porter Gustin, he had a great play last week specifically. He had that interception late in the game. I know I went crazy for that because I really wasn't expecting it. But so he was a member of the Saints practice squad that the Browns picked up. He was a UDFA, and he was promoted to the active roster in, I think it was November, and he's been a fan favorite from what I've seen. Just off of the name alone, Porter Gustin is a great name. He had a sack during the year. I forget which game that was in, but he did have the interception on Ben Roethlisberger this past week in the wild card round. And he has really emerged as a rotational pass rusher, especially with Olivier Vernon going down. He saw a lot of snaps last week just because he's younger and more athletic than Adrian Claiborne is. So they have more options with him, more explosiveness whenever, say, an offensive lineman gets hurt and they want to move Myles Garrett over to one side to kind of bully him. Then Porter Gustin has that speed coming off the other edge that can force quarterbacks to either roll out into him or roll out right into Myles Garrett. So
yeah. Oh, sorry.
You're all good. He's just been a real key addition, and he's surprised a lot of people, including myself. I really look forward to seeing what he can do this weekend.
I was happy that you mentioned Adrian Claiborne there. Just kind of going back to the depth of the Browns, I mean, just so many ways that they can kind of put fear into offensive linemen. I mean, just the styles that they have there. But as kind of we wind down here, last few questions for you. The Chiefs, we know last year had a slow start to every playoff game. They were down, of course, 24-0 to the Texans. 10-0, and then eventually 17-7 to the Titans. So this is kind of something I think Kansas City's really going to have a big chip on their shoulder about in starting this game fast. Do you think that Cleveland's a team? I mean, of course, they've still had some higher scoring games this year, but do you think this is a game where Cleveland is definitely wanting to be the aggressor, or do you think they're fine with being able to play catch up a little bit if they have to?
Personally, if I was Kevin Stefanski, I'm foot on the throttle, nonstop, just go, 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 because this Cleveland offense, once they get in, or sorry, this Kansas City offense, once they get in a groove, they can't be stopped. So I think it's a necessity that the Browns get out early, put points on the board, have as few empty possessions as possible. Damn near every possession needs to end in a score just because this Chiefs offense is so potent and so explosive. You never know when they're going to strike. And once they do, then it completely turns the tables.
And I guess from the Chiefs side of things, I mean, the injuries for one, I know Sammy Watkins did not practice the last 2 days. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was limited on Wednesday, did not go on Thursday. So again, I always say just wait and see with Andy Reid. It's always hard to tell kind of how they're handling those. So watch just for the Friday injury report to really know more. But if those guys are out, I mean, you take away so many options for Mahomes and what Kansas City is able to do. But I guess another stat that, or another topic that I wanted to throw out there with that is just the fact that Cleveland has had so many games this year, you know, that they've just jumped out to huge leads and they just have not given up an inch in the red zone. And that's something that the Chiefs offense has struggled with at times over the last couple of years. I know a couple of weeks ago, Cleveland, among the playoff teams, I think had the third best red zone scoring percentage for touchdowns only. So they're a team that puts up a lot of touchdowns, doesn't settle for a lot of field goals most of the time. So I just think right there, this is going to be an interesting thing to watch to see how they start the game on both sides of the ball against Kansas City. But next question for you. You kind of mentioned it a little bit with Joel Batonio in the Behind the Enemy Lines article as maybe a underrated X factor in this game. If Batonio's not able to go, who's kind of a under-the-radar guy that Chiefs fans should keep an eye on?
Along the offensive line or just in general?
In general.
In general, that's a good question. I think Porter Gustin would be that guy.
Good choice.
Because he did have a great game last week, so they might try and work him in more often and early on in the game just to kind of see if he can get anything going, see if he can allow Miles to get anything going. But Porter Gustin's been that guy that has really stood out to me in the games that he's played. So I think that just because he's not a big name, I feel like a lot of people are just overlooking him. They're looking at who's lined up on the field and they're going, oh, Porter Gustin? Yeah, we don't need to worry about him. But he can cause problems. So I think he would be the one that I would keep my eye on.
And I know from obviously this Chiefs podcast, so Chiefs fans are obviously hoping for a win. But while I have you here, I do want to ask you, if the Browns are able to pull off the win on Sunday, what team would you rather see them face in a potential AFC championship game matchup, Baltimore or Buffalo?
I'm going to go with Baltimore strictly because I think the Buffalo Bills are the only team in the league that can really go toe-to-toe with the Chiefs. So if by some miracle both the Chiefs and the Bills are eliminated this weekend, then I'm sending all-out pressure at Lamar Jackson every single play, forcing him to make mistakes. He's had poor games against the Browns before. We saw it earlier this season until he went to the bathroom and then came out and then led game-winning drive. But I think I would rather face the Baltimore Ravens for those reasons. And also, imagine the storyline.
Right.
You go 3-3 in your the Browns go 3-3 in their division during the regular season. Beat the AFC North champs and the Steelers in the wild card round. Meet up against their other division rival in the AFC championship game. Beat them. Go on to play in the Super Bowl in their first playoff appearance in 25 years. I feel like that's just an incredible storyline, and it just really interests me if that were to happen. That would that would make me very happy.
Yeah, and just the history there, of course, like you said, with Art Modell moving the team to Baltimore originally. And, yeah, I can't imagine getting to see that game, especially knowing what the Monday Night Football game was like. But for Chiefs fans out there, I guess I'll not make you mad at me for thinking about that potential matchup. If you obviously want to see the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game, I found this stat the other day from my friend Matt. He was talking about just the past few double-digit favorites in the divisional round coming off of a bye, and the fact that 8 of the last 10 have covered, or excuse me, 8 of the last 10 have won, 7 have covered. So history is kind of on the Chiefs' side there a little bit, and I think you just look at Andy Reid and his career off of a bye. I believe it's now 25-7, I believe, over the course of the 20 or so years that he's been an NFL head coach, regular season and postseason included. So there is some history on their side, and I think you just look at them in the past couple of years. They've been a great September team, great November team. December has always kind of been a little bit of a tough stretch for them. So if there's anything there, I think that gives Chiefs fans more confidence. I think it has to be Andy Reid coming off the bye and just this team being able to self-scout and rest up for the last couple of weeks when I think it was just really needed. So on that note, Nick, I thank you for being on. It was a pleasure. It was a great discussion. Where can people find you and your work for FPC Browns?
You can find me on Twitter at NSwansonMedia. You can also, for more Browns coverage, follow at FPC_Browns. We post articles, podcasts, everything on there, other tweets. We live tweet throughout the games. All of the articles are on fullpresscoverage.com and in the Full Press Coverage app. You can find our podcast, which we try to put out weekly. That is on every major streaming platform, so go check those out. Give those a follow. We love interactions, even if it's just trash talk. We had a couple great interactions with some Steelers fans last week, so even just friendly banter is more than appreciated. We just love interacting with people, interacting with the fans of other teams, everybody.
All right, and you guys can follow me on Twitter at BradenHolacek9. Full Press Coverage Chiefs on Twitter is at FPC_Chiefs. So just stay tuned there for live coverage of the game on Sunday. The Full Press Coverage app, go download that at the App Store. That way you can find all of our articles for every team and the podcast episodes in one place. It's easy to navigate and find everything there. We'll be back on Friday with the draft profile, our third one for the 2021 prospects, and of course our three keys to victory article for Chiefs and Browns. So stay tuned to all of that, and we will see you guys next time.